Gather around your speakers, hoop heads. It's NBA story time. Jamel Johnson here to spin you tales of NBA shenanigans you didn't know you needed to know. Like that time when a little startup league tried anything to be relevant, or when Ricky Davis earned himself a dumb nickname. I also love you, Ricky Davis. Catch a new tale on NBA Storytime every week, then listen to the postgame where I break it down with comedians, ballers, and what have you. Find NBA Storytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
This podcast episode is brought to you by Coors Light. These days, everything is go, go, go. It's nonstop hustle all the time. Work, friends, family expect you to be on 24/7. Well, sometimes you just need to reach for a Coors Light because it's made to chill. Coors Light is cold lagered, cold filtered, and cold packaged. It's as crisp and refreshing as the Colorado Rockies. It is literally made to chill. Coors Light is the one I choose when I need to unwind. So when you want to hit reset, reach for the beer that's made to chill. Get Coors Light in the new look delivered straight to your door with Drizzly or Instacart. Celebrate responsibly. Coors Brewing Company, Golden, Colorado.
Guys, what's up? I want to take a quick second to let you guys know that our podcast is supported by Anchor. That's right. If you haven't heard about Anchor, it's the easiest way to make a podcast. Let me explain. It's free. There's creation tools that allow you to record and edit your podcast right from your phone or computer. I'm doing this ad from my phone as we speak. Anchor will distribute your podcast for you so it can be heard on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and many more. You can make money from your podcast with no minimum listenership. Evidently, I can't talk. It's everything you need to make a podcast in one place. Download the free Anchor app or go to anchor.fm to get started. Now back to the show.
Hawkeye Nation, Wash Up Walk-Ons fans, episode 109 on this fine Monday, 420, for those who participate, or whatever that means. We've got another teammate, Torn Young, on the podcast. Running back, NFL hopeful, all-around good guy. This is going to be a good one. Sit back, relax. Let's have a day. Let's go.
Welcome back, Wash Up Walk-Ons fans. This is episode 109 of the podcast. Back with another teammate because we're all in the Corona times. It's the Corona Chronicles. Nobody's got shit to do. So that means we just keep bringing guys to the podcast to join us. Again, another guy that spent a lot of time with me in the running back room, got to spend countless moments bashing our heads into the same people over and over again, and made some great memories that might fade away into darkness at some point, but we're gonna find that out later in life. So hey, Torin, welcome to the podcast, my man.
Thanks for having me.
It's your boy T Young 28 coming at you live.
Yes sir.
T Young, what a story, Torin, that you have, and kind of a career for the Hawkeyes. Happy to finally get you on the podcast, man. How you been?
I've been good, man. Hanging in there with the coronavirus stuff, but definitely excited to be on with you guys. I've listened to a couple episodes, and you know, it's been really fun.
So let's talk some B. Ross right off the bat. All right. why is our guy so soft? He's afraid to come on the podcast.
You know, I talked to Brady. He said that you guys have been requesting him to be on the podcast a couple times.
He's been busting his balls for a long time.
He said he'll get to it at some point, but, you know, he's just too big time right now.
He is.
This whole draft process and everything, and he's just too big time right now.
For the fans that I've – because it's been out there, we teased the B-Ross episode early, like at the turn of the year, January 1st, Kevin's going to shit his pants or something. At the turn of the year, we're like, yo, we're going to start trying to get teammates on, We're going to have guest episodes every week.
And by the way, side note before Kluver goes on, we see all the tweets and all the people you want to hear from. Like, yeah. we want to have conversations with you guys too. We want to catch up and everything. Our list is 100 long, just like you guys. Yeah. And we only are at 100 episodes in 2 years. So right. This shit takes a little bit of time. We got guys a mile long. Continue.
Yeah. And for us, that's a good thing because we want the show to go on. I mean, the way it kind of works out is if we do one or two episodes a week, there's, like you guys have, like Drake just said, hundreds of dudes that we could bring on this show. Torin is one of 200 guys that we played with, and they all have their own story, and every episode is unique. And, and for a quarter of the year, as long as Corona doesn't kill football, Corona Chronicles out here.
Dude, if Corona kills football, I'm killing Corona.
Yeah. For a fourth of the year, we're not going to have guest episodes because we'll actually have the season to talk about bowl games and towards the end of the season, all that stuff. And so we're going to spread them out. We want this show to go on and there to be content on a slow drip basis. It's like an IV in your arm.
Morphine. It's a morphine drip. You can only get it every 15 minutes.
Yeah.
Like you can only get this twice a week, but when you get it, it feels so damn good that you know you're just going to keep coming back for more.
Right. And so the whole thing with B. Ross was we wanted to open up with him. You know, like year two, 2020, B. Ross, episode one, he's like all in on it, yada, yada. And then he gets all serious about trying. There was at one point of like a strong, probably weak period where Drake and Brady were no longer friends because
he was mad at me. He was very, very angry at me because I was maybe not being considerate of why he didn't want to do it yet. You know, he's just like, I just don't want to say something stupid and have it out there. And you know, he knows the kind of conversation that we get into.
If B. Ross gets on, something controversial will be said between the two of you guys. Something, exactly.
Well, what basically happened was Kevin Drake and I added Brady to a text message one day, and there was a full, like, 12-round UFC fight between Brady and Drake as Kevin and I awkwardly sat as standby or bystanders. And Kevin, what was your thoughts on that day?
It started off as a very pleasant, very normal conversation, and then it started getting a little chippy, as you know, good guys
happens. Good job.
It gets chippy, but then it escalated really quick. Like that Ron Burgundy memes, like, whew, escalated quickly. Like there were some body shots thrown
to the point where like Drake told Brady he didn't give a fuck about him or who he was. Drake told us that our podcast was third rate. No one fucking listened to it. And it was wild.
Sometimes it happens.
And then, like, a month ago, Brady was back on board. He was like, yeah, we'll make it happen. And, like, 2 days later, it was like we were about to record with him. And he's like, yeah, I just can't do it, man. Like, I don't want, like, a draft scout to hear it or, like, a team to, like
– Which, to be honest – in total Iowa fashion, great saving face move by him, to be honest.
Because like, I think what Brady's saying is when he comes on this show, all of the walls are coming down.
He's going to set it up.
And I can't wait for that.
Me either, too.
We're hoping that Brady makes it and this whole NFL process goes well for him. Let's talk about that process a little bit for you, Torin. Right before we hit record, we're talking about how, you know, Pro Day got canceled. I want to hear your thoughts on all that, what that means for you, kind of how your training has been going, and all that stuff.
Yeah, definitely. The Pro Day being canceled, it was definitely tough.
That's a hard
one. Iowa, you know, they're going to bring pretty much all 32 teams out to the Pro Day. And, you know, we put a lot of work into training and just kind of getting our times better. And there's a lot of work that goes into it. You know, a lot of times people think, you know, once you're done playing football at Iowa and you get to that phase where you're, you know, training for the pros, I think it's kind of a cakewalk, but, you know, it's just as tough.
That training is hard, isn't it?
We did GPP this year, which was not fun. So
Wait, you did GPP for pro day training?
We did too.
We started off with GPP.
Did we? So,
yeah, we did GPP at the beginning.
I don't remember that. Yeah, we definitely. Yeah, so we started off with GPP, but
That's definitely tough. for the laymen's out there. That's general physical preparedness. GPP is what that's.
And it's like pushing sleds, battle ropes, and
slide boards.
And it's just at the end of the workouts, and it sucks.
Definitely. But yeah, it sucked for it to get canceled, and it kind of, you know, it's tough because it kind of puts you at a disadvantage compared to, you know, the prospects and guys who got to get their pro days in. I don't think there was a whole lot of teams that were able to do their pro days, but you know, there's a decent amount, so kind of puts you at a disadvantage, but kind of just making the most of the situation. And it's been interesting finding ways to train. I've been talking to Kluver about some at-home stuff. You know, Kluver, this is Kluver 2.0. Looking good over there.
Yeah, it's not Teletubby Tyler anymore. This is CrossFit.
Teletubby Tyler.
Yeah.
No, I should change my Twitter name to that. That'd be cool. I'm getting way too much respect from the former teammates because everybody when I was in Iowa City – I was never, let's be honest, I was never.
Dude, you were a walking chocolate milk jug.
No, I was never like fat. I never walked around with a gut, but I wasn't like.
You walked around with a gut, dude. I had a gut. You had a worse gut.
Yeah, I mean, it was the Doyle gut. I couldn't lose it. Otherwise, how would I make weight? I could never be this jack unless I took substances, which I'm not against, by the way. If someone wants to buy me some HGH. I would never be able to look like I do right now and weigh 215 or 220. That's just not – I'm 5'10". It's just not in the cards. But you put me on a little human growth hormone, a little cocktail, and I'll beef up to 230 shredded. And I – no problem. But, yeah, I respect that, Torin. I appreciate it. You know, I had to do my thing. But the training at home stuff – I think has been, I can't imagine trying to, like, can you guys imagine trying to be ready for the NFL?
No, it would be impossible.
No, so, like, you can do, like, at-home workouts to, like, your CrossFit stuff, Clue, but I don't know how you could possibly be doing, like, pro-level training.
No.
Yeah.
Like I see Parker out in the, so I live with Parker Hesse right now, and he's out in the garage, and just, like, throwing around some 35-pound dumbbells. And
yeah.
It's like, just trying to do what you can. It's like, This is quite a downgrade from the 24,000 square foot facility at the university.
Definitely, that sucks. A lot of eccentric stuff.
Yeah,
is that what you're doing?
With lightweight. One of my friends has a nice little setup in his garage, some workout equipment. So I go over there. But I've been running, trying to do a little bit more long distance running, just because there's not much. I don't have. You know, the access to a field and cones all the time. So trying to switch it up, do different things, do hills, do miles and stuff like that. So
have you, as far as teams, agent, all that, how has that been going? Talking to anybody? The draft's this week, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yep. This week coming up. That's been good. I've heard from a decent amount of team, whether that be calls or text messages, just kind of basic stuff, getting information for the draft as far as like my phone number, where I'll be, what airport I'm closest to, just kind of small talk, nothing like,
right,
you know, but a decent amount of teams, which is, you know, that's all I need is a chance. So it sounds like there's some teams who have some type of interest in some shape or form. I don't know exactly if you know what how that looks or what it'll be, but I think I'll get my shot.
So I feel like everybody that comes out of Iowa City, that's all they need. Just like just put them in a camp and then there you go. Like,
who was it? Bill Polian? Was he the NFL exec that just made the comment about that the other day?
Yeah. Oh yeah, I saw that.
An Iowa guy that's a pro ready guy. You just don't have to worry about them. They do things the right way and people you like having in your program or in
It's just that story. I mean, Ben Neiman, Riley McCarron, Cole Croston, you just go down the list. James Ferentz, you can go undrafted, but you get a Hawkeye. You give a Hawkeye an opportunity in a training camp, in a
you know, in a summer program with an organization, get them into camp. They're going to have a better shot of making that cut than guys from other schools. It's just the way it is.
Definitely.
Torin, you had an interesting, kind of an interesting end to your career at Iowa. I see that you're wearing the t-shirt version of the alternate UD. How'd you feel about that uni this year?
They were pretty cool. That would have been cooler if we won the game.
That would have been nice. But been cool.
They look cool. It sucked to put them on. So I don't know what it was.
Greg was on
the 28 jerseys. The 28 jerseys were tight. Me and Jack Kerner both had to be cut to get in our jerseys, and then they had to cut us all the way up the jersey. It was terrible.
Oh, my God.
And you know me? Really? I'm a bigger guy, you know. I got a little baby fat
it's
on me.
The too. Doyle gut, dude. We just talked about it.
Torin, you got that's what it is. It's baby fat for you because you really are you the baby face, like even but, with the beard.
Dude, why is it always that those alternate jerseys they never seem to fit quite right?
Man.
I don't know if you guys remember those Ohio State ones, but they were a little bit like a little baggier.
Yeah, those definitely didn't fit right. Yeah, Torin, which was your favorite alternate uniform that we played in?
I got to go with Ohio State just because what goes along with it. That day was just, you know, it was a magical day. We, you know, knock off Ohio State. We put up, 55 points on them. I scored my first touchdown in that game. So
that's right, you did.
There's a lot that goes with that game. So those uniforms were definitely my favorite.
What kind of feeling is that when you score your first touchdown on a day that was that magical, just – some of the loudest that Kinnick has ever been, a feeling that we all had where it was like, you know, it was like super juice in our veins. Like we weren't going to be stopped that day for some reason. And
we almost all scored our first touchdown.
I know we could have been three people in this fucking out of four could have scored a touchdown that day. Don't need to talk about it. Come to bed. What does it feel like to cross the goal line? Cause I wouldn't fucking know.
It's definitely a crazy feeling, especially, you know, as a kid, you dream of moments like that, you know, in front of 70,000 fans, you know, scoring a touchdown under the lights, college football, Saturday, playing against Ohio State. The story to that game is actually kind of funny because, you know, we're sitting on the heated bench, defense goes out first, and I was telling me and Ack used to always, like, talk during the games, and I was telling him, I was like, yeah, I'm about to get some playing time this game. I can feel it. He's like, nah, you're not playing this game. and then Hook gets that pick six off the jump. And I'm like, yeah, I'm getting some playing time this game. He's like, dude, shut up. This doesn't mean anything. You're not getting no playing time. So it's funny.
Ack wasn't letting you have anything, dude.
No, it's funny. So I end up getting some playing time. He's like, all right, he was right. But the funny story about so me and Ack would have this conversation before every game. In every game that he would tell me, like in some games, all right, bro, hey, I'm tired, legs is feeling a little heavy, be ready to go. Like you're probably gonna get some playing time in this game. I would never play in those games. And then the game, he's like, nah, you're not playing. I get some playing time. So that's how I kind of gauged whether I was going to get in the game that year or not.
It's how Ack was feeling.
Just the opposite of what Ack said.
That's funny.
Opposite of what he said.
Torin, you remember how, like, intense it was in the – you know when we went to that pregame meeting with Brian and JD stood up and gave that speech because he was, like, the Ohio State kid and everything. You remember how live that was, dude, and just, like, the feeling, the buzz in the room, even 4 hours before the game, it just felt different.
Yeah, definitely. You could tell, you know, leading up to that week, something was just – you know, the building felt different. Like, you know, no one was ever scared to go in to play against these guys. Our preparation was on point that week. From the scout team all the way up to, you know, the two deep guys to the coaching staff, you know, everybody was ready, everyone was prepared, and you just felt something, you know, coming off the bus and coming out the locker room on that Saturday.
I'm curious your guys' thoughts because this is a question that fans get or have a lot, and I've been asked it during the season. Torin just described, and we've all described before, you could just feel it, like he said. It was the same way when we beat Michigan in 2016 after we got our asses handed to us at Penn State. It was just like it was just a feeling in the complex. Preparation was on point. Everybody was on their shit. How do you tell the fans that every game is that way, but there's no way to determine like that you can just have one of those weeks like an Ohio State or a Michigan? You can't just decide to have one of those weeks. Like, it's just different. Because then fans go to like, well, then why aren't you guys prepared that well every week? Like, what's the answer for that? I don't like –
You know, that's definitely I've heard that a lot. Like, yeah, why aren't you prepared every week? You know, the preparation is the same every week. The intent is the same every week. You know, and that's what we do at Iowa. Preparation is, you know, that's one of the building blocks of the program. So, you know, every week we're putting our best into preparation. It's tough being a college athlete, and there's so much you have to balance: school, you know, football, social life, and football. Probably, I mean, you guys know football is the most tiring one. It has you. It requires the most energy, and you're talking about 115 guys doing the same thing week in and week out. From August to all the way up to December, that's tough. So, I mean, there's week where, we prepare, we put the same amount of film time in, and we're on the practice field working hard, but there's so many different things that factor in, and it's tough to, you know, always, you know, every guy's not going to have his best week or his best day, so it's tough. You can't control those things. So, I mean, I wouldn't say our preparation intent of the preparation isn't the same. It's the same week in and week out, if you know what I mean.
That's what I'm trying to – that's what I want to get across to everybody, like, listening and everybody – I think people that have listened to this show for a long time fully understand. I mean, we've bitched people out multiple times. Like, I promise the guys are prepping every week as hard as they fucking can. But, like, some weeks it just all comes together. Like, there's a third of a percent – better that everyone does, and it just kind of everyone happens to be in the right spot school wise and everyone happens to feel good that week physically, and everyone happens to, you know, get something to click in their head on film, and it all comes together. 100 guys then as a combined. Kevin, I'm interested in your answer to that question, because we took to Twitter. the Wunderlich scores came out. Nate Stanley scored a fucking 1800 on his SAT. Wunderlich.
How did we get deemed half as smart as Kevin? The two of our scores combined, I don't even think equaled Kevin's.
So I retweeted it on the Wash Up Walk-Ons account, because somebody was like, what did the Wash Up Walk-Ons get? So I just retweeted it to see some funny answers. And the general consensus was that Kevin by far got the best score on the Wunderlich, and then you, Drake, and then me.
Yeah, but we were both village idiots.
Here's the thing that I don't think people understand about the Wunderlich is that the biggest factor is that you don't have any time to take it. You have to fucking speed through
it. It's 8 minutes, right? 7 minutes, 8 minutes?
Yeah. Someone was like, I took a practice or like a practice Wunderlich online, and I got like 48 out of 50. I was like, yeah, you probably spent a half hour on it. We got 8 minutes to take it. The fact that Stanley got 40 out of 50 is
ridiculous
insanity.
I remember we took it one time like before pro day, like Coach Dole had us all like take a practice one, and I think we got to see those scores, but I don't remember.
I think I got a 27.
I don't remember what I got. And then Drake, you and I took one for the Packers. I don't know if Kluwer was with us actually on pro day, and it didn't show us what we got.
Sure didn't, Kev, because you know what? I'll remember this forever in my life. The Packers scout, at least you told me this afterwards.
No. That's the 49ers scout you're talking about. Oh,
fuck me. Fuck that guy.
See, that's why I got a better Wunderlich score.
There you go.
You are a village idiot, Liv.
I mean, I'm not, but I did like what the one guy said. He's like, Kluwer, you talk the most on the podcast, so by default, you have the lowest score, because those who talk the most are kind of recognized as the dumbest. Torin, were you able to – did they tell you your score? Did you take it, or
– I did not take it. So usually they have you take it You guys took it when you guys were juniors, right? At the
it's like a practice or
something. Yeah. I haven't taken it at all. Like okay. I didn't even do the practice one.
Okay. Wow. It's interesting. It doesn't surprise me at all that Stanley got a 40. I did see somebody tweeted like, oh, I'm gonna have to reevaluate my mid round guys. I think Stanley now moves to the front as someone who could be a it's like, dude, okay. How much is fucking Wunderlich going to change a guy's potential in an organization?
This is what I have to say to that guy. Sit and spin.
Like, it's great for Stanley that he got a 40, but I guarantee it doesn't fucking change anything about how ready he is to be in the NFL. Like, we knew he was smart.
The Wunderlich, some of the stuff that you do at the combine, I'm not a fan. I feel like it doesn't really – I mean, yeah, it measures athletic ability and – a lot of it's nice if you're on the track. But, like, I mean, a football player is a football player because I'm one of those guys where I'm not going to impress people with – I'm not going to run a crazy 40 time. I'm not going to jump some crazy vert, but, like
– join the club.
I'd like to think when I get on the football field, I can compete.
And my dad was passionate about the fact that the 40 was a stupid-ass test for a football player. He was just adamant about it. He's like, if you're a receiver, fine, run the 40. You're a defensive back, great. He's like, what the fuck is an offensive lineman running a 44?
Yeah, that's true. Torin, we're going to get more into you personally and your backstory kind of all the way back to high school in Iowa City. But before we move on from that conversation, I want to hear in your words your thoughts about Nate Stanley and him being the quarterback of the Hawkeyes and your relationship as a quarterback running back and what you think of Nate.
Whenever I get asked about Nate, the first thing I gotta say is he's one of the toughest guys that I've played with. And there's a lot of, you know, guys that are really tough that I play with. Nate, you know, I've seen there's been games where, you know, he's getting beat up pretty good, and he comes to the huddle, and there's blood just dripping down his face and from his nose, and he's in the huddle, and he's calm, cool, collect. He's still calling the play, and next play he goes and throws a touchdown. Like, you go to the Ohio State play where he has guys, you know, draped on his legs, and he's standing in there just firing a
thank touchdown you, Kluber.
Pass. Yeah, like, those playing with guys like that make you want to run through a wall, like, it's just contagious. And, you know, we feed off that. You know, you see that in the huddle and you see things like that, and I'm telling you, it's a game changer. So
speaking of running through walls, man.
We got blessed to play with two super tough quarterbacks.
CJ and Nate are some of the two coolest.
CJ was legendary tough. Like, he has folk tales about how tough he was.
Which, by the way, we need him on the podcast so bad.
Yeah, we'll get it done.
Anyway, Kev, you were talking about running through walls.
I was talking about running through walls. You know, Torin, you were like a fucking bull in a china shop, man. You were like one of the toughest runners ever, like, come through in my time. Like,
the toughest tackle.
You're up there, man. I'm trying to think who, like, fuck, hitting Mark Wiseman wasn't very fun, but, you know, Torin, man, you came through the hole and you were bringing the fucking wood, man. So, like, do you just, like, not care about your brain health, or what's your mentality when you get in the rack, dude?
You know, honestly, I grew up – my favorite running back to watch growing up was Adrian Peterson, and he just ran the ball so violent. And, I mean, that's why that's the reason I wear 28. And, you know, going through high school and getting to college, especially knowing college, you know, this is, you know, real deal football. These guys are coming to hit. My mindset has always been like, try to be the hitter, not the hitty. And I just try to run violent and run hard. And you can't run scared. You can't, you know, think about, what about, you know what I'm saying? You just got to, sometimes you got to put your head down and just run through it. So, I mean, that's the mindset I try to take, and just try to pride myself on being that tough, physical, violent runner.
Is that out of Marshawn Lynch right there?
Yeah.
What are a couple of your favorite runs or plays from Iowa? Because I got one in my memory bank. We were playing Northwestern, and you caught a pass out in, like, the right flat, and you just wouldn't go down. You just randomly broke, like, 3-4 tackles. You got the first down. That was a sick play.
Yeah, that one's up there. One of my favorite ones would be there's a – so, you know, third downs. You know, I'm not usually in there on third downs.
Me either.
Smaller guys. You know how that works.
Yeah. you and me were in on the same third down plays.
Yep. But that I was accidentally out there on a third down, and they call, you know, a little flat route, so nothing crazy. I catch the flat route against Indiana, and it's probably about 7 yards out, and I go out, and their defensive back just dive bombs right in my knee, and I ended up sticking my hand in the ground, keeping myself up, balancing. Another guy comes and hits me from the side, and I end up scoring, but that one was probably one of my favorites. But my most favorite one of all is my run against NIU. So there's a big story behind why that's my favorite. And long story short, going into that season, it was the first game, 2018, I believe, and I was listed number one on the depth chart the whole offseason, taking one reps in camp. I started splitting one reps, me, Ivo, and Makai. You know, we were rotating at the time. But still, going into that game, I was number one on the depth chart. And we get to the game, and, you know, the meeting in the hotel for the game, coach was like, all right, we're going to start off with this guy. This guy's going to go on the game. You know, it's cool. And he's like, yeah, you know, so just stay ready. And first quarter goes by. I haven't played. Both the other guys have played before me. Oh, my bad. Have played before me. And so, long story short, it gets to halftime. I still haven't played in the game, and I was listed as the starter before the game. So I'm like, man. But I just knew, like, when I get my moment, I got to be ready. And first drive I get in the second half, first time getting in the game, they give me the ball. It was like inside zone to the left. I end up running through their linebacker and taking it for 43 yards. And then end up having like 8 carries and 80 yards that game. And that play showed me a lot about myself. So that's probably one of my favorite.
Hey guys. Yep, it's me again. Got to interrupt the episode real quick to talk to you guys about Spotify. One of the sponsors of this podcast. On Spotify, you can listen to all your favorite artists and podcasts in one place for free. You don't even need a premium account. Spotify has a huge catalog of podcasts on every topic, including the one you're listening to right now. Yeah, we're on Spotify. I don't know how we did that, but pretty cool. Other things you can do on Spotify is follow your favorite podcast so you never miss an episode. Premium users can download episodes to listen to offline wherever you are, and you can easily share what you're listening to with your friends on Instagram. If you haven't done so already, be sure to download the Spotify app. Search for Washed Up Walk-Ons on Spotify or browse podcasts in the Your Library tab. Also, make sure to follow us so that you never miss an episode of the Washed Up Walk-Ons.
What, Drake?
Drake, I think you muted.
I just said love that story. My fault.
Yeah. I think one of the interesting things about Iowa, and a kind of a sore subject sometimes, but I always look at it as a positive with the fans, is – the fact that we do a lot of times we do running back by committee kind of deal. You've just said and described how you were part of that. It was basically that way for all 5 years that we were in the program. Before that, it was how it was. It has been for a long time, basically since fucking Sean Green was the main guy.
He was like the last feature.
He was like the last feature back who took, you know, 80, 90 reps. I think some of that has to do with how football has changed, where, you know, you get a guy, a 1-2 punch like LaShawn and Ack, who you can, you know, you got the hammer, and then you got the guy who can play third and fourth downs, run the screens. Sometimes you can hand it off to him on the edge and he can get loose. Two kind of styles of running, but at Iowa, it seems to be this committee kind of thing. What is it like, and what kind of mindset do you have? I think it obviously goes hand in hand with just the Iowa mindset in general. But you have to be a pretty selfless guy and a team guy to be a part of something like that, where you might not, like you said, you didn't play the entire first half, but then you got your chance. Another example is Akram scores 4 touchdowns and goes for about 4,000 yards against Northwestern in our 2015 season. But he wasn't supposed to play that game. It was going to be Kanziri and LaShawn. talk a little bit about that, because I think a lot of the fans would be very interested to hear, you know, that first perspective from you.
Definitely, like you said, you got to be selfless. And it can be tough at times, you know, in those situations when you don't necessarily know when your moment is going to be or, you know, when you're going to get to play. But the biggest thing is when you're not in there, support the guy who is and help coach him up, and then stay mentally and physically ready for when your moment does come. That's huge, because I could easily just checked out in yeah. that game, and I would have got in and I wouldn't have been able to do my job. But you just got to stay ready. And like you said, Ack, his game against Northwestern, I'm pretty sure it's probably the same thing for him. You never know when your time is going to be. And Iowa has great running backs, and it's a good problem to have too many good running backs. So we definitely got depth. You saw it last year, the year before, years before that. And it's definitely a challenge, but it's a good problem to have.
At 19 years old, 18, 19 years old, in your mind, why is Tyler Goodson so fucking good?
He's just one of those players, you know, where he's going to go out and make a play. You know, it's just naturally playing football, you know, not thinking too much. You know, a lot of times young guys will come in and, you know, you're thinking a lot. You're, you know, thinking about what the plays are, or, you know, where the – you know, sometimes you just got to go out and play football, and that's what he does, and that's what he does best. And he goes out and makes guys miss. So he's just having fun. He's playing loose and relaxed.
It's so fun to watch him. It was fun to watch you guys all last season. Going back to the beginning, because I want to know a little bit about the story. We always want to get the backstory, how you came to Iowa City.
Madison, fuck the Badgers.
Yeah, Madison, Wisconsin. I mean, you were homegrown Badger country right there, right?
Yep.
How does T. Young 28 find his way to the black and gold and stay away from Badger country?
Man. So, yeah, I lived probably 15 minutes from Camp Randall. Grew up going to Badger games. But kind of during my recruiting process, the Badgers, I went on a couple visits there. Iowa, I went on a visit there, my first one, and fell in love right away. You get in Kinnick and, you know, fans are going crazy. You see the swarm, you see things like that. You get to see behind the scenes kind of, you get to talk to Coach Doyle and see that whole the whole weightlifting program and strength and conditioning, I mean, and fell in love with it right away. And I think I took, like, after my first visit, I probably took, like, 8 more visits to Iowa just for fun, just to go to the game, just because it's like, man. But, yeah, so I fell in love with it right away. Wisconsin didn't recruit me too heavily. I went to one of their games as a recruit and didn't go back, didn't get invited back or anything like that. Iowa ended up offering me, and I committed the next day. And that was my junior year, so I just shut it down very next day. Knew that's where I wanted to go, just the style of football, the type of person Coach Ferentz is. It all was just a fit for me.
So here's something funny to think about. The Coach Doyle that you meet during recruiting and the Coach Doyle that you get when you're doing pro day training are like the two angels on the shoulders. Yes. And then the Coach Doyle of Iowa football is in the middle with that fucking scowl on his face, just ready to eat you alive.
Yeah. The four or 5 years in the middle is like the devil called Coach Doyle. And he lives inside the fucking Golgi tendons of your muscles and just digs knives into them all 4 years. What you have any favorite Coach Doyle or Coach Ferentz stories?
Just favorite coach stories in general.
Man, that's tough. With one of my favorite Coach Ferentz stories during that bowl prep for the Pinstripe Bowl, when we had that all that time to do those activities.
Yeah.
And Coach Ferentz got out there dancing in front of the team.
Oh God, that was one of the
slip and slides were always legendary.
Oh man.
Yeah, they call us from the jackhammer.
Good moments. Or just you ever, if you just watch Coach Brent, him chewing his gum on the sideline and him just tossing his gum, that's always funny to watch.
What about Brian?
Brian, oh. there's some funny Brian moments.
How many times have you heard Brian say the word fuck? So many.
Yeah, I don't even know. In the thousands, hundred thousands maybe. But I think the trash can might be the funniest.
I was going to ask you if you remembered the trash can story. You know who that was directed at, right?
Nah.
He was pissed at me when it was actually CJ's fault, but the trash can took the brunt of him being pissed at me for CJ's fuck up.
Well, I don't think I've heard the trash can story.
Dude, we were in a Friday, Fast Friday. We were backed up. It was the end. We were just running a backed up series. And we had put in a play for Minnesota only because of the way they set up a defense in short yardage. And I knew where I was supposed to go because there was only one. It was just the play call. CJ bucked the wrong guy. So I'm like, well, whatever the quarterback says goes. So I just did what the quarterback said. The offensive line ran the play that they knew they were supposed to run, where I was supposed to run, but I was listening to CJ, and Brian got hella mad, just lost his mind, kicked the trash can. That bitch went flying across the indoor, and yeah.
That's actually wild. That's hilarious. I still want to go back to more on Doyle in the summer. How did you look at summer conditioning? Were there any times during your career, Torin, where you were like Doyle might kill me, I might not make it? Any of those moments, any favorite days of conditioning where you thought you were gonna have to get dragged off the field?
So I'll say the first time I ever did conditioning, I had some, like, we were in summer classes, and I was one of those guys who had a class in the morning, so I couldn't condition with the team, and I had to come back and do it by myself.
Yuck.
So I get out on the line for a 55, and I'm by myself, and I think we were doing skills and drills at the time, or we used to do it in the afternoon at that time.
Yeah.
And so I'm out here running my 55, and the first one, I full out sprint and just go, because I don't know, I'm a freshman, I don't know how conditioning works, I full out sprint on this 55. And I think it might have been, I don't know who, strength coach at the time. Yeah, he was an intern at the time probably, but I forget who the strength coach was. He was like, you don't want to do that. That was a funny story. Game simulators always suck, but I always made my times. But afterwards, you know, you get to those last couple reps, especially if it's a cut 85 at the end, you're just like, damn, like, I don't know if I can make it. When you see guys standing, hands on hips and their legs is crossed, you know they're going through it.
Bro, how hard was it to never bend over? Like, I love the mindset that you never bend over for no bitch, but.
Man, yep, yeah. You don't bend over. Don't put your hands on your head.
I always like those guys who are like, oh, I'm just adjusting my socks. I'm just tying my shoes.
Yeah.
I mean, everyone's done it too, man. Everyone's done it.
I used to tie my gym shorts real tight so that I could try and put all my weight on the drawstrings of the shorts.
Every once in a while, you give like a good stretch, like, oh.
Yep. It is crucial deciding who you run next to and where on the field you're running, because
100%.
If you can run next to a guy who's breathing heavy and it just throws you off. It makes you panic and you're like, oh my gosh, this sucks. But you want to get next to someone who's, you know, their breathing is in control. And
I think you could write a book on the game of conditioning. The game of conditioning. Because the other thing is you don't line up next to George Kittle. You don't do that.
No,
because or CJ, because you're going to get dusted and you're going to look like an asshole, okay? So game simulators, you got to be careful about where you're going there. You don't want to run an extra 55 to get across the field when you get called onto the field. Everyone tries to go to the near side, and everyone's trying to cheat it. Oh, man.
Here's a funny story.
imagine this. Now imagine, so you got you guys semis. Imagine being a 225-pound skill.
Terrible.
Running next to, you know, 190-pound, 200-pound guys were just all speed.
Yeah.
That was not fun.
Do you guys remember when they put the new turf in the on the outdoor
field? Oh, my God, that was awful.
And for some reason,
running in sand, dude.
And the tire hadn't settled yet, and we had just got the group of new guys in the summer, and you would try to, like, there wasn't enough room to do a cut. So you'd, like, bend down to touch the line, and your face was in the asshole of the guy next to you because everyone was so close. The skills probably didn't have that problem. I don't know if you were skill or semi yet, Kev. The semis.
It would have been our senior year, so I was a semi.
Okay, the semis were loaded, and you couldn't. No fucking room. And I remember thinking, if I miss a line because I have to wait for a guy to use the space to cut, and then I have to cut, I'm gonna kill somebody. That was so bad. Oh God, it was so sweaty.
Here's a funny story that y'all will appreciate. We were running our true freshman year. It was in the summer, and we were running barefoot 55s after a workout for the conditioning. Mm-hmm. And I was running hard, but I was keeping up with CJ, right? As a freshman, I called my dad after the workout. I'm like, yo, listen to this. I just crushed conditioning, blah, blah, blah. I was keeping up with CJ. Everybody talks about how good he is at conditioning, blah, blah, blah. I didn't beat CJ in another rep maybe in my entire career. And it was because it was barefoot 55s, and I didn't know shit, and I didn't know he wasn't trying.
Right.
And I proceeded to just get waxed for the rest of my career.
Yo, barefoot 55s felt good, though. Like, just stride it out on the feet. Like, those always were nice.
They felt good unless it was hot.
It did get hot sometimes.
And like, I was making a mistake of trying to spray water on your feet makes it 10 times worse. Yeah.
I was thinking the other day at the end of that 2015 season, Drake, remember that day where we were supposed to run like game simulator, or maybe it was 60s and stations, but we ended up just running sets of 460s. And then you
sets of 660s. We ran 24 60s. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And afterwards I was on my shit that day. I don't know what I was out in front.
We all were, man, because we were all in such good shape.
I know, but Coach White, the running backs came up afterwards and the specialists were with them, and Coach White called me out and said, Kluve, you were killing it. And I remember, Drake, you looked at him and said, what about me? And he goes, and he was like, yeah, you did good too. And I thought about that the other day, and I was just like, wow. He really fucking skimmed Drake on that shit. Like,
yo, if Kluver's going to get a fucking conditioning compliment, all of them compliments better be flying.
That was funny. So after you committed Torin to the Hawks and you came in, how were those early, like, what was that transition like from high school to college? You mentioned earlier how it's so different trying to manage a football lifestyle, and was that a struggle for you? Was that tough, or did you figure that out decent?
It was definitely tough. I feel like I handled it well. You know, I wasn't used to getting up at 5 a.m. And at that time the freshmen were in dorm for the summer.
Oh yeah.
And most of us didn't have mopeds at the time, so, or if your moped didn't start, we were walking all the way over there, so we had to get up even earlier, you know. But it was definitely tough. It felt like coming from high school football, everything's just kind of loose, relaxed, chill, and then you get to Iowa and it's like toes, put your fucking toes on the line, you know what I'm saying? Like, you know,
you're
like,
it's almost
like you're in the military. Yeah. I can hear Doyle, this isn't that Monona Grove bullshit. That's his favorite thing. Call out someone's high school. This isn't that Monona Grove bullshit anymore. You're at Iowa now.
Yeah, this is funny. And he knows everybody's high school. Like, he just
I don't know how he does it.
You're not in Muscatine eating fucking El Olmedo.
Yeah.
Get on the line. And he knows, I told you to touch the line.
And he's got some little quirk. He's like, he's a special.
The craziest thing about Doyle is you never know with him, because he likes to joke with you a lot, and then he likes to be real serious.
Yeah.
I remember one time, you know, like, he always jokes with me. He's like, he came back, he's like, so you went back to Madison. Were you at fucking Culver's eating those cheese curds? I laughed. I was like, nah. He's like, I wasn't playing. Like, I hope you were eating healthy. I'm like, oh, yeah. I mean, yeah. That's funny. You never know. Sometimes he jokes with you, and then the next day you'll think he's joking, and he's like, no, fuck that. Like, I'm being dead-ass serious.
I'll never fuck, Coach Doyle. I'll never forget. I told the story about when I thought when freshman year, our true freshman year, I thought that I was in the two deeps first, like, conditioning.
Oh, no.
I thought it was – so this is one of the most – and 4 years later, I thought about this moment and thought, oh, my God. Doyle must have thought that I was off my rocker. Because, I mean, he was – he never went – he didn't go off on me in the story. I'll tell it in a second. He didn't go off on me, and it's because I was so out of bounds. If you ever listen to fucking Diners, Drives, and Dives, Guy Fieri, out of bounds is how he describes food. I was so out of bounds with this line of thinking that Coach Doyle was just like –
this guy
dumbfounded that I would even ask this question. So for those listening, there's spit all over my mic. So we've mentioned it before, but after games on Sundays, it's a shakeout run, and there's always I actually think the number of reps that was like 25 or 30 that we kind of went off of for most of our career early on in our career, that first year, it was just like if you were in the two deep, like if you traveled, you got out of the reps or whatever. It wasn't as specified. And so that first year we've talked about, I got to travel because I was the only other long snapper other than Kreider. I was getting no reps. I was just, because of lack of people and the nature of the position, I was the only other guy. But that first Sunday came around and Marshall fucked me on this too. I can't believe he let me die in the fire like that.
Of course he's going to, dude. It's funny. Everybody gets to laugh at it. I'd let your ass die too.
So that first Sunday comes around after the Northern Illinois. I think we played Northern Illinois that first year, that first game. And
2013, yep.
And we start our stretch. During stretch, Coach Doyle is kind of explaining the first shakeout run of the year. He's like, all right, if you're on the two deep, we're going outside to the outside fields. We're running our stride 55s. Everybody else, you're inside, you're running, I think, 60s that day or whatever. It was like, and it wasn't even like hard conditioning. It was like 660s. And so I look at in my head, I'm like, oh, cool, two deep. Like, you know, freshman Tyler.
I'm in this bitch.
Yeah, freshman Tyler Kluver. I'm like, fuck yeah, baby, two deep. I don't have to condition.
Tyler.
But just to make sure, I kind of like go over to Marshall because, you know, he's let's see, he would have been third year in the program. So he obviously knows what's going on. And I go, Marsh, I'm in the two, I'm technically in the two deep, but do I run outside or do I run in here with everybody else? And he's like, he gives like his good old, I don't know, you gotta ask Doyle. I don't know, you should probably ask Doyle. And I was like, god damn it. So I go over to Doyle and I'm like, coach, do I run it in
tough.
Tough, dude, so tough. Coach, do I run here or should I, do I get to run outside with the two deep because I'm second string? But like, and I think I tried to over explain it like I would, and he kind of looked at me and he goes, You think you should be outside with the two deep, huh? And I was like, well, I don't know. I just didn't know what you thought you wanted me to do. I don't know. And he's like, I think you should probably run inside today. And I was just like, got it. And I never fucking asked Doyle ever again in my life what group I should be in. I just assumed, all right, I'm fucking conditioning forever. And to that day, I ran conditioning every Sunday after every game because your boy got 7 plays a game. So that was that.
Those Sundays are the funniest days because there's so many guys that are like tweener guys. They're in between, you know.
And all of them are trying to get out of the conditioning.
And so they all go to the rollers and they try to hide from Doyle because he's looking. And he's like, yeah, hey, go to the weight room.
And it was always the best when we were on the rollers. And Doyle would just be standing, walking around, pointing guys out, telling them to get lost.
I was calling guys out.
I was one of those guys. I used to hide on that roller. My freshman year, I traveled the first half of my freshman year. Then I stopped traveling. And so I ran with you guys for like the first 3 weeks. And then that fourth week, I'm sitting on the roller, like, hi, he's calling people. He's like, young, weight room. And I hated those Sundays, being a running back, because especially splitting time with three guys, none of us really ever got to 30 plays. Yep. And so if there's a game, you get like 25 plays, and you're getting a lot of carries in those 25 plays, and you still got a condition, your body is beat up. So
that's so funny.
No, dude, I feel you, because like literally all I did was play special teams, right? Mm-hmm. And a special teams play is about twice as long as an actual play. Yeah. So like those like 28 special teams plays feel like 40 to 45 regular plays. And especially I was always 25 to 28. I was never at 30. And the cutoff used to be 20, and then it'd be like, you know, he would it was like maybe our second or third year in the program. He'd see like, hey, Rathjen, how many fucking plays you get? He's like, 22. He's like, yeah, you're fucking running.
he would do something like this. He'd be like, Ward, how many plays you get? 22. If you got 23 or more plays, you are running.
That is definitely a total Doyle move.
Yeah, and then he bumped it up to 30, and then I only didn't run like one more time in my entire career after he bumped it to 30.
I remember one time he went off what Josie got, and what Josie got was the bottom limit, and anyone less than Josie had to run conditioning. That was not that I was even close, but I was like, damn, Josie's really that guy. Like he's got some pull in this program. So funny. He would just call people out. Every time you're sitting on the roller and Doyle walks out, you just out of the corner of your eye, you kind of make sure he's not walking towards you. But at the same time, you're like, God, I hope he doesn't say anything. Have I done anything wrong in the last 7 years?
That anxiety's horrible, dude. Have I done anything wrong with Doyle walks in the room looking pissed, dude? That is a real anxiety.
It's like, did I?
Like, shit, I know I got a C on that test, but like,
he knows it all, dude.
I haven't been going to class. Did I get snitched on?
Yeah. I don't remember we have so many refuels and breakfasts. I don't remember if I made it to the one this morning. I hope I did, because, oh, man.
Dude, this is episode 109, aka the Doyle Diaries.
The Doyle Diaries.
It's funny, speaking of refuel, so you know there's guys who try to they'll miss refuel and they'll get a manager like, hey, can you mark me off, please? I already missed refuel once, but you know, they try to get in with the manager and they started having a strength coach sit up there with the managers for a little bit, like, no, you guys aren't just gonna check people off.
Right.
And like now, like if a guy tries to ask the manager, like, we check me off, they're like, no. Because they all got chewed out.
Because then Doyle came out.
Shout out to the managers, though. Shout out to the managers.
Shout out to the OG managers back when we used to get away with that shit.
Oh, man.
The amount of times I checked off one particular person so that they could go do a leisurely outdoor activity that involves clubs and a ball and grass. The amount of times I checked these assholes off, it was okay though, because you know they were on weight.
Unbelievable. You guys remember as we wind this down, you guys remember like how our second to last year, maybe our last year, they started introducing like omelet bar. Like Stella would do like omelet bar.
Wouldn't miss one of those.
And we got it once or twice a week. They have omelet bar every fucking day now. Every day.
But would it start to get like
everything else?
Yeah, embarrassment of riches or whatever, you know, where it just isn't as good, you know, because when the omelet bar came, it was awesome, and when they brought
it, it was an exciting day. Right?
Yeah, I don't know. My brother sure seems to just thrive, keep thriving on it.
His last name's Kluver, isn't it? So if there's anything like Teletubby Tyler, he's going to keep eating and keep eating.
Dude, my brother's I think my brother could beat my ass, dude.
Really?
Yeah.
You just said that on a live recording broadcast?
Dude, he's 6'1" and a half, and he's a thickie now. He's over 200 pounds.
Let Zach know that if he wants the smoke, he can get the smoke.
He's
– Oh, my gosh. Drake always talking about fighting someone but can't fight.
Call him out, Torrance. Expose his ass, Torrance.
Talk to me, Torrance.
In the position meeting room one time. Austin Kelly is my witness. Ask him.
Why do I not remember? I know I have CTE, man, but I think you're talking about fairy tales. Were you with Peter Pan? Was it Austin Kelly and Peter Pan?
Oh, my gosh.
I have crazy
I beat sometimes your too. Ass in the position meeting room because you was talking like you always talk, and I had to get
Torrance,
you right.
Torrance, listen to me. You could tell this story at your family Thanksgiving, and your mom would tell you to stop being a liar.
Drake. I think the people know. I've watched some episodes and I seen Kloof call you out because you're always talking about fighting somebody.
Yeah.
But you can't
fight. Tell him, Torn.
Okay. I don't.
But time out. I got a real good story. Time out for me.
Well, tell it.
Memory.
Because we have told some stories of me getting smoked on this podcast. So it's happened.
You remember Tokes and Akron's little wrestling match?
Oh, do I ever, dude. Tell it. Tell this story, Torn.
I can't even do it. You tell it, bro.
So
first of all, like, Ak was always touching people, dude. He would come up and grab your ear all the time. He would grab my ear, and I had to look at Akron a couple times and be like, bro, I'm a specialist, but if I have to throw down, if you keep touching me, I'm going to have to do some
Imagine get that right in there. Meetings in team meetings when Cav's talking and you feel your ear getting touched or something. Stop. You're trying not to laugh, but the whole thing between those two went down because Tokes was like fixing his compression pants or something, or his compression shorts, and then tried to like shake Akron's hand or something stupid like that. And then they started wrestling around, playing, and then yeah, that.
Ak was always on that shit, and then Jaleel and Faith. No one slap boxed more than Jaleel and Faith.
Butt-ass naked in the middle of the locker room, too.
I just talked to Faith the other day, and he's going to come on the podcast soon. So
I can't wait.
Yeah, me either, because he might be on the Mount Rushmore of funny dudes. So let's do that. Mount Rushmore of funniest teammates you played with. Mine's Jaleel, Faith.
Oh, fuck.
Jaleel and Faith.
Coop's got to be on there.
D-Bowl was funny.
Very funny. I think DP is my fourth.
So is D-Mitch. D-Mitch and D-Bowl. But God, bro.
Rest in peace.
They were
both. I'm gonna throw Steve Ferentz out there. Steve's a funny motherfucker.
Very, very funny. Especially in weddings.
You know who wasn't trying
to wedding? He belongs on the
somebody who wasn't trying to be funny, but just was that kind of human was Dean Soponitis.
Very. He almost makes my list.
Yeah. Torrin doesn't know Dean, but my God, that human was a character. Yeah. I would have to think, but there is.
Torrin, who do you think?
Man, that's tough.
I'm definitely on your list.
No, hell no. You're not even honorable mention.
Dude, I'm
not going to lie.
Come on.
Brady's on my list, though.
Understand it deservingly
so. He has like a dark humor.
You got to spend more time with him.
Dark man. Is putting it lightly.
He's past dark humor.
I don't think you guys got to play with Davion Nixon, or he might have just been coming in around.
He was there for like a semester.
He was there the semester that we were doing our pro training.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Davion is just kind of he's funny. Man, this is tough because there's a lot of funny guys.
Almost, I mean, everybody's got is pretty funny. Like,
everyone's funny in their own way.
Can we agree that defensive line as a whole is the funniest group, though?
Pretty funny group.
I'll absolutely 100% endorse that statement right there.
Like Drew Ott, hilarious dude.
The Rat Pack, is that what they call them?
The Rat Pack, yes.
We need Parker, to have them Sam, on the podcast as guys, a group.
Yeah.
So I talked to Sam, and he's working with the university.
I know. Like, he's scared, too.
I can't conflict of interest myself. I'm like, hey, man, I respect it.
Brady's scared. Sam's scared. We got a bunch of people scared, bro.
We got all these motherfuckers really scared out there.
Parker's scared.
No, it doesn't have anything to do with scared. Parker's just like, I don't like talking. And I was like, okay, I get it.
Fuck, it's – oh, man, we got to loosen some people up. Can we get, like, a 15-minute interview? God damn. I actually, for the first time in forever, I got some shit to do, so I have to kind of wrap this up. Anything else you want to talk about, Torin? Anything you want to let the people know? Anything you want to say to Hawkeye Nation before you go? You're welcome back anytime, so, you know, we'll have you back.
Especially on Badger Day. So, like, football comes back, we got to get – so we had Macon last year. Definitely want to bring him back because every Badger episode, I think, deserves Macon Pleva on it. Yep. Love my guy, Make. You can join. We can just have a fucking fuck Wisconsin doom party.
Book it.
Hey, I'm down. I'll be there.
All right, good.
All right, cool. Anything else, Torin?
No, thanks for having me.
Oh, he's gonna
have fun talking to you guys, catching up with you guys, and look forward to tuning in and continuing to listen to you guys.
Oh yeah, bro. Best of luck to you in your future and whatever this bizarre ass world, whatever it comes to, man. Best of luck to you.
Corona.
Appreciate it.
All right, well, that's it for episode 109, Jesus. 109 episodes of the Wash of Walk-Ons.
We've got a sick
boy, T Young, 28.
Yeah, with your boy, T Young, 28.
It's your boy, T Young, 28.
Signing off, baby. Walk-Ons and T Young, 28, out. Peace.
I'm MJ Acosta Ruiz.
And I'm Lindsay Zarniak.
And together we'll be hosting the On Her Turf podcast. This summer, On Her Turf is hosting a daily Olympics podcast
that focuses exclusively on women's sports and the amazing women competing in Tokyo.
We'll bring you interviews with Olympians and in-depth analysis on your favorite teams.
Plus, we're going to talk about some of the challenges still facing women's sports today.
So join us daily at On Her Turf as we cover all the excitement of the Tokyo Olympics.
Be sure to check us out on Apple Podcasts and be sure to follow On Her Turf on Twitter and Instagram too.